Well, hello, everybody. And I'm so glad you guys came. I'm excited about tonight. I really am. Laura, you don't mind not wearing this hat? How about you guys? You guys mind not wearing this hat?
No, it looks good.
All right, good. Keeping on my hat. Matches my shirt. My dad gave me this hat, God's Army. People said, thank you, sir, for serving in the military. I said, well, I didn't serve in the military. Well, look at your hat. I said, yeah, read it.
Oh. But it opens discussion.
Yes, it does. It opens up discussions. Let's pray real quick. Father, we worship you and we praise you. We give you glory, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him, what he has done. Not what we need to do. It's all about what he did. Oh, Jesus, we love you so much. We're so grateful for you. We thank and praise you for all you've done and all you've given and all we have and all we are and all we can do. It's all through you, Jesus. Faith in you. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, I'm just so excited. I just really am. I don't know. You know, when you get a letter from somebody and you know who that letter is from, right? You know, you're excited when you read it. So now, it's funny, when we're reading Paul's writings, I get excited because I feel like he's writing them to me. You know? He's writing them to me. I mean, I love Jesus and I love the revelations I get from the Holy Spirit of God. And he's number one. Holy Spirit is number one. He's number one. Holy Spirit is number one. He's the revealer of truth. He's the giver of truth. Jesus said, it's important that I go, that I might send another. And the thing about this is amazing. The another isn't really another, because he says right after that, I will return to you. It's just the Holy Spirit is, yes, it's three in one. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God the Father, God the Son himself. So it's like Jesus. Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us. And that's number one. I love him. But also, I feel like I know Paul. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I know Paul. And probably that comes from the fact that I determined 6, 7, 8 years ago, I don't know how long it was, that I heard somebody say it. I spend 85% of my time in the Pauline epistles, because Paul writes to the new creation. And that's who we are, new creation realities. And this is it. I always would say, New Testament doesn't equal New Covenant. You're going to find a mixture when you read Acts. You're going to find a mixture when you read Peter. You're going to find a mixture when you read James, okay? So on and so forth. You're not going to find a mixture in Paul's gospel. You're not going to find a mixture in Ephesians, in Galatians, in Romans, in Philippians, in Timothy. You're not going to find the mixture there. And so maybe that's why Pastor Lori and I, are just so fine-tuned into his message of grace. Paul, thank you, Paul. I like you, Paul. I love you, Paul. And so we're just going to continue our study in the book of Galatians. If you've taken notes and if you took notes, you know, last week, and you take notes this week, and you're going to put them all together, by the time we're all done, you are going to have a nice commentary on the book of Galatians. A very nice commentary on the book of Galatians. And Pastor Lori, nobody has taken me up on, I would send them the notes if they requested.
Oh,
nobody's
mine.
Asked me for notes. Okay, I'll send you the notes.
Mine.
You got your notes. I'll send you notes. Because this way, if you print them up, you know, with the nice three holes in the paper, then you can make a little commentary. So today we're going to finish the first chapter of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 10 through 24. And I'm going to read them, those verses to you. You can follow along. For these purposes tonight, for reading it, and for that reason only, I'm going to be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. For do I, verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Oh boy, I gotta wait on that. I'm gonna wanna talk about everything, but I'm gonna have to wait. All right, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of all the traditions of my fathers. And of course, Pastor Lenny forgot to hit record. All right, so I just went back there and hit record. Oh boy. Anyway, get this out of the way. All right. Good. So we're a little bit behind there. All right, verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, Gentiles is a better word, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Verse 19, but other of the apostles saw I none except James, the Lord's brother. Verse 20, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was none known by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Verse 23, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. In verse 24, and they glorified God in me. All right. Are you ready? I mean, this is awesome. This is exciting. So we're going to take it, not every single verse, but just some of the verses. The first one, first verse we're going to look at is verse 10. For I do not persuade men or God. Oh, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So Paul is saying, in sharp contrast to the time when I needed letters of authority from the religious institutions of the day endorsing my mission. So what he's talking about there, and what he's talking about in this verse, is that before he can go after the Christian, before he can go after the Christian church, right, he had to get those letters, the commission, from the high priest, from the religious leaders, because that was his, you know, his like a policeman has the badge, like that was his badge of authority. And he wreaked havoc on the church. And he was able to move and do what he had to do because he had those credentials. He had the credentials of man to do the work that he was doing. So what he's doing right now, he's saying, I needed no letters of authority from any religious institutions of the day endorsing his mission. God was his complete persuasion. God gave him the commission. God sent him out, and only God, only God, only God, which is amazing, because it wasn't man. Paul is saying it wasn't man that commissioned me. It was God that commissioned me. It was God that sent me out. And so guess what? If you are going to commission somebody and you are going to send somebody out, Don't you think you have to train that person? Don't you think you have to school that person? You know, give them the how-tos and the what-fors? Well, because no man commissioned him, and it was God, we see later on in the verse that he spent 3 years with God, who was the one that commissioned him. Getting his commission from God, getting his instructions from God, getting his, you know, his revelations from God, getting it all from God. That was his source. That was the power of his commission. I answered to him alone, not to anyone else. I'm just sorry. When I listen to that, you know, because I'm so familiar with Paul's writings, I read, you know, we're going to read in chapter 2 later on where he says, you know what? I don't care who they are. It makes no difference to me. I don't care that who they, you know, big deal. They call themselves apostles. That means nothing to me. And this is what Paul is saying here, you know, because he was commissioned by God. He answers to God alone, not to anyone else. Christ employed him. I am addicted to his grace. Oh, Paul. And he's got me addicted to his grace. Popular religious opinion will not influence me to compromise my message. That is powerful. I just spent, you know, I don't know if there's anybody here that I've spoken with on the phone. Maybe, I don't know. But I don't shy away. I always welcome phone calls. If I can't talk at that moment, I will call back. And I was on the phone today with Rebecca, and I see Rebecca didn't join. I'm mad. The law, I told her, I say, thou shalt join, but no, I'm just, I was on the phone with her. She had, Pastor Lenny, I have a quick question for you. And then that quick question turned into 45 minutes, you know? And I said, you know what? You're trying to get 20 years of downloading into me. You're trying to get it all out at one time. You know, you got to listen to my podcast and visit my channel and everything. But, you know, she was just eating it up. But the thing is, she has this mental block, the same mental block that most Christians have. And the reason why that mental block is there is because of the mixture. It's because of the simple fact, and I'm going to tell you it over and over again, the intermingling of the covenants in the New Covenant. So New Covenant does not equal, I mean, no, New Testament. So New Testament does not equal New Covenant. There's an intermingling, and we're going to find that to be true here. But Paul never compromised his message. There was no, okay, listen, guys. Stand firm in your faith. Stand in the faith. Stand in the faith. Stand in the faith. Be strong in the faith. Make no mistake about this. Whenever Paul said those words, whenever you read those words, okay, Paul was meaning one thing. Stand firm in your faith in Jesus Christ for your righteousness. That's what Paul was talking about. And so, when you think about it, the compromise message, there was none coming, compromise message coming from Paul. It was all Jesus, faith in Jesus, faith in Jesus. You are declared righteous. And once you're declared righteous, what does righteous mean?
Right before God.
Okay, right before God, right? Right standing, full approval, okay? Fully acquitted. At peace with him and fully qualified. So once you're declared righteous, now there's no more working. There's no more doing. There's no more striving. There's no more, you know, acts of performance. It's Jesus equals everything. It's not, you know, here's the parenthesis and you have to add something into that parenthesis and plus Jesus equals. No, it's Jesus. And so when you find Paul's writings, he doesn't compromise that gospel of Christ. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, never of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? It's just like, for instance, Jehovah Rapha, right? What is that? What is Jehovah Rapha? The Lord that healeth thee. He's our healer. And he's provided the healing. All right, but here comes religion in mixture, right? In the intermingling of the law. And here comes mixture. And then they're going to say, all right, yes, he is the Lord that heals you as long as you follow these steps. As long as you do this. As long as you work at that or work at this or stand in this or do that. Then he becomes the Lord. He's the Lord your healer. He's the Lord your healer. And you have right approval, you have right standing, you're at peace, and you're fully qualified because of faith in Jesus Christ, period. And so Paul says, and, you know, I do not compromise. I will not compromise. So now when we look at verse 11, he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. And he wanted to make it very clear to all of his friends, right, to all that heard his message that he proclaimed, it was not mere speculation or a product of philosophical or religious debate. And you know what? That's so vitally important. This is one of the reasons why he didn't go to Jerusalem, or he didn't go here, he didn't go there, and he learned from Christ. Because I remember, you know, growing up in the church, and the church that I was in had certain colloquial, is that the word, Mom? Colloquial? I love you, Mom. You know, Mom, I love you. Guess what? We're coming down there in June. Not only us, Lori, Zane, Allison, Wilder, we're all going to be together. Anyway, I get excited about family, guys, and I get excited about you guys because you're my family. Turn off, mute yourself right now. Okay, what was I saying? Oh, no. And so we would listen to the colloquials that came from the pulpit, and we would make it gospel. And it sounded good, right? It sounded good. You know, hey, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Oh, but thank God for his grace. Because his grace allows us to come back to him and seek his forgiveness once again and be cleansed once again. For we're but sinners and God knows it. And you know, so I have so many people that I try to minister to, and I am a sinner. Where did you get that from? You didn't get that from finding it out yourself from the Word of God. You got that because it was from God is sovereign, right? God, yes, he is above all, but God is sovereign. And he decides who, and he decides what. Okay, so you know what? That becomes my mindset. That was what came from the pulpit. God is sovereign. You know what? This healing stuff, I don't, he decides who. He decides when. He decides if. You know? And the same thing. Mom, my righteousness is but a bunch of filthy rags. Well, you know what? That's true. Because you can't earn righteousness but through your own works. And before Jesus Christ, before you were labeled or declared righteous by God, yeah, any of your good works, any of your righteous deeds, even if your name was Mother Teresa, right? But that's not truth. That's not the truth of the gospel. But that is ingrained in the minds of so many people. And that's why it's so hard for people to grab hold of the fact, I am righteous. I am just as righteous as Jesus Christ. God made that so. And you have to get to that point where nothing moves you off it. No person or no blip on your radar screen. No blip on your, you know what a blip on your radar screen is? Okay. What happened today? Something happened today where I got so frustrated. I forget what it was. What was it? I don't know. The bank. I got so mad at the bank. I've been going to this bank for 25 years. And I went to the bank and I said, I understand you have notary services here. I would like you to notarize this. Oh, sorry, sir. We can't notarize it. It's a personal letter. I said, what do you mean it's a personal letter? All you're doing is notarizing. You're verifying the signature. You can't notarize this for me? I've been coming to this... Pastor Lori, I kind of blew it, guys. I blew it. I've been coming to this bank for 25 years. You know? Wasn't quite that bad. I'm exasperated a little bit. But you know what I did? I got perturbed. That's kind of a blip on the radar screen. But now I don't turn around and I don't go, oh, Father, forgive me. Oh, my gosh. Forgive me, Lord, for that episode. Forgive. No. What happens is I dust myself off because I say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the very character and nature of Jesus Christ. And that wasn't the character that I possess. That is my character. And so what do? I repent. What does that mean? In my mind, there's a changing of my mind. And I turn away from that. I turn away from it. That's what that means. And so no philosophical or religious debate. And this particular person, she's not on. Oh, boy, I told you what her name was. That doesn't matter. There's I got five or six Rebeccas that follow me. But anyway, she goes to, and I don't even know what this church believes, or I kind of do because of the question she was asking me, but she goes to an Anglican church, all right? Some people go to a Baptist church. Some people go to a Methodist church, whatever. And a lot of these things, oh, is Melanie there? Is Melanie here from yes. Pittsburgh, from Pennsylvania?
Yes.
She, me and her always back and forth on texting, talking and whatnot. It's all because now everything new that's coming is challenging what the mind has accepted for all these years. And that, guys, I'm telling you, that is what's going to make the power of God that's within you explode. And everything that you're looking for, that you're waiting for, that salvation has already given and supplied, it's going to make it a reality in your lives. Okay? And I'll tell you what. You can't take... Are you watching? You can't take two steps forward, okay, in this gospel of grace message, and then go back and listen to the mixture and whatnot and think that you can spit out the bones. Let me tell you something. When you go to spit out the bones, they're going to get stuck in your throat. So you can't take two. What are you laughing at me for?
Spit out the bones.
Sometimes you can't, right? It's caught. You're it's caught. And you can't take two steps forward and then take three steps backwards again. You know? You either got to say, look, and I'm all in on grace and it's all about Jesus Christ, or hey, listen, I'm all in on grace, but with the grace comes a responsibility, and I have to do and I need to do. You're either going to have to go one way or the other. Okay? All right. So now we're going to jump down to verse 15 from verse 10. No, not verse 10. Verse 11. Verse 12. Which verse? Oh, verse 12. And verse 12 says, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So that's verse 12. So this is not his own invention. This was not Paul's own invention. Neither was he spoon-fed by human tuition. His source of reference is the unveiled mystery of Christ in me. And you know what? I want to look, when I think about Paul, I go to another portion of scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And this is what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." All right, so when you see this, what Paul is saying in verse 12, he's saying the source of his reference was the unveiling of the mystery that was within him, which was Christ. And this is his whole ministry now. This is his whole ministry. This is what Pastor Lenny and Pastor Lori have been called to. And so what Paul was sprung into from this was to unveil the mystery of the Christ in all his followers, in all his hearers. The glory that was within them. And you see, that's where the victory lies, guys. That's where the victory, you know, I can teach you, but I won't. I can teach you the law. You thou shalt not. And I can come at you with, how you been living this week? Have you been? Did you been doing this? Were you angry at your brother? That's just as bad as committing murder. Thou shalt not. I can come at you with the law, you know? Nope. You know what my Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:56? The law gives strength to sin. You know? I come at you with, trying to bring you revelation of the Christ that is within you and the glory that is within you. The Christ-likeness that is within you, the glory that is within you, the character of Christ that is within you. Because if I can share new creation realities with you, the truth of our gospel, that you are holy, that you are righteous, that you are sanctified, that you are complete. Did I say perfect?
Not yet.
I'll say, even if I said it, I'll say it again. That you are perfect, that you are unblameable, that you love like Christ loves, that you have the wisdom of Christ. You see, if I could be an agent or a tool of the Holy Spirit to unveil and unlock the Christ that is within you and the glory that is within you, that you can see what the Father knows about you, do you think anything else is going to be an issue? Healing, okay? Sin, it's never going to be an issue. The only time I think about sin is when I'm teaching and I mention the word. I don't give sin a thought. Because you know what? I'm not telling you guys this just to tell you. My wife is here, and I want you when I'm done, I want you when we're done to say a yay or nay.
Okay?
Now listen. Do we spend our whole day, right, in each other's company, building each other up, speaking righteousness to each other?
Yes.
No, they can't hear you.
Yes.
Louder.
Yes.
Did you hear that? Yes. I mean, that's what we speak. We speak new creation realities. We had conversations all day today about, okay, Len, she's asking me, okay, Let's meditate on, let's think about how do we stay in that rest? Because things are going to come. Things are going to come at you. Things are going to happen. It's called life. But you can't let life dishevel you. You know, you can't let things dishevel you. You have to remain in that rest. You have to remain in his love. You have to remain in his righteousness, you know? And all things are good in that place. So, anyway, let's move on. Let's look at verse 15. But wait, did we finish with verse 12?
Yes.
Verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. That's beautiful right there. Now, unless you understand the Greek and know the Greek wording there, you know, you won't get the fullness of what Paul is saying. And what Paul is saying there should echo to every one of us. He's saying, God's eternal love dream separated me from my mother's womb. His grace became my identity. The word that's used there is called eudokio, means his beautiful intention. His well done opinion of me from his mother's womb. You know, this is amazing. From his mother's womb. Wait a second. He was a persecutor of the church. He was zealous for the law of Moses. He wasn't zealous after grace. What? But yet it says from his mother's womb. Do you understand that? From his mother's womb, God had nothing but beautiful intentions for him. And you think about us. You think about, and here it goes, Paul's speaking to me again. I hear you, Paul. You know, so we think about what happened at Born Again. At Born Again, we became a new creation. Yes, amen. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, before the foundations of the world were laid, he saw us in love, before him in love, holy in love, in Christ. So when Paul is saying this here, right, he's telling each and every one of us the same thing. We were God's beautiful and wonderful and amazing intention. From our mother's womb, from before our mother's womb. And this is powerful because it helps us in our realization of, wow, he always, from day one, from time you come out and a doctor slaps the butt and you start crying, I don't think they do that anymore. Do they do that anymore? They don't do that anymore. Mom, did they slap me in the butt when I was born? Yeah, they did. See, they did that back then. But from that time, you know, he loved me. He had his hands on me. He had his eyes on me. It took me to hear the gospel and hear the message of reconciliation to experience the fullness of born again. Is this all right so far?
It's awesome.
Yeah? Okay. So that's verse 15. Now we're going to go to verse 16. Verse 16 says, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, Gentiles. I hate that word. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So verse 16, he's saying, this is the heart of the gospel that I proclaim. It began with an unveiling of his son in me. Powerful. Powerful. The gospel, okay, will empower you. The power of God for salvation will be your power when Christ in you is unveiled. And when you're unveiled. You know, God gave me a word. And sometimes I don't like sharing things because I want them to mean, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to mean or be as special to other people as it was to me. But when the Holy Spirit told me this, he said, if you look for him, tell them this, Len. If you look for him, who's him?
Jesus.
If you look for him, you will find him. And when you find him, you will find you. Come on, isn't that good? If you look for Jesus, you will find him. And when you find Jesus, you will find you. That's Paul's gospel. That's Paul's way. That's Paul's message. This is the heart of the gospel that I proclaim. It began with an unveiling of his son in me, freeing me to announce the same sonship. Here we go. In the masses of the non-Jewish people, I felt no immediate urgency to compare notes with those who were familiar with Christ from a mere historic point of view. Which is really powerful. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. Because you would think, if he really wanted to know about Jesus, about this revelation, right? Wouldn't you go to the guys who were with him for 3.5 years? Right? But those guys that were with him for 3.5 years did not have a hint of the revelation that Jesus had. Being united with him, being one with him. You know, he made him who knew no sin to be sin. What does that mean? Your sins were put on him. When he was on the cross, your sins were put on him. Your sins, it's like you were dying with him. That's what Paul said. I was crucified with Christ. Your sicknesses, your disease were put on him, you know. And then he was buried. They were buried. You were buried with him. What? He was raised from the dead, righteous, newness of life. They had no understanding of that. Do you understand that? They had no understanding of that. But Paul, this is amazing. Now, I'm telling you, I know where Paul got it from. You see, Paul got his revelation from the scriptures. Jesus revealing himself, maybe Imano, but certainly from the scriptures that Paul knew. And when you go to Isaiah chapter 53, which I talked about last Sunday, where it talks about, I was pleased to crush him, I was pleased to put him to grief, you know, he was a guilt offering, bearing the sins, you know, of many, you know, that through my holy servant, his sacrifice, his righteousness, his justification, he will justify the many. I looked at him and I seen his work and his effort and his toiling, and I was all satisfied. When you look at the back end of Isaiah chapter 53, you see a lot of Paul's gospel there. It's amazing. You know, it's amazing. And this is why Paul told Timothy, you know the Holy Scriptures, how they make you wise unto salvation, right? through faith in Jesus Christ, right? Because they make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And the scriptures all testify about Jesus. So this is what Paul is saying there. What verse was I on? 16. This is the heart of the gospel that I proclaim. It began with an unveiling of his son in me, freeing me to announce the same sonship in the masses of all you Gentiles. I felt no immediate urgency to compare notes with those who were familiar with Christ from a mere historic point of view. Because you know what would have happened if he did that? What would they have taught him?
The law.
Amen. They would have taught him the law. Say, okay, brother Paul, we know how zealous you were for the law. That's awesome. Keep that zealousness for the law, Apostle Paul. Brother Paul, he was Brother Paul, keep that zealousness for the law now as you get people to believe in Jesus Christ. See, because they're going to have to believe in Jesus Christ. They're going to have to be zealous for the law of Moses. Thank God he didn't go confer with man. Amen?
Amen.
17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. This is radical. This is radical, guys. Listen to what Paul's saying there. He deliberately distanced himself from Jerusalem and from the disciples of Jesus. He landed up in Arabia before he returned again to Damascus. The weight of this revelation left him no choice. Instead of finding out more about Christ in history, he desired to discover Christ more in him. And that should spur us and lead us to the wanting of discovering the Christ that is in us. And that's why I shared with you what the Lord, what the Holy Spirit said. If you look for him, you will find him. And when you find him, you will find yourself. Oh, man. And that's why 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18, we come to the mirror. We behold in the mirror the image and the glory of Jesus. And as we do, and as we believe and embrace that image, and that's the image, that's our image that we're looking at, then we are transformed into that image by the Holy Spirit. Not by your works, not by your efforts, but by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 17. I did finish verse 17? All right, you don't want me to do it again, right? Okay, no problem. So now we'll go down to verse 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. I'm not writing this to trick you into anything. This is really how I started off preaching this gospel. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. And I want to let you guys know, I do pray and I weep. And I go before God. Pastor Lori will, you know, she'll attest to this, because I want to make sure I am teaching and proclaiming and administering by the Holy Spirit. All this revelation I have, it's been given to me by the Holy Spirit through his word, confirmed in his word, okay, is the truth, is the true gospel. When I was talking to Rebecca today, after 45 minutes, She said, I mean, this is too good to be true. I mean, if this is true, if this is what the gospel is, it's just too true. It's too good to be true. I said, let me give you a little hint. Let me tell you something. If it's not too good to be true, then it's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. If it leaves any kind of hint of guilt, shame, or condemnation, or the understanding that you have to do something, it's not the gospel. But if you come out of it with, this is just too good, this is too good to be true, and you this is exciting, it's too good to be true, then you know what? It's the gospel. You want to know what the most poorly translated verse we have? It's not the most, it's one of the most. That it leads people to believe that there's things that we have to do? Want to know? Mm-hmm. Do you think you know? Mm-hmm. You guys want to know?
Yes.
You'd like to know?
Yes. Tell us.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, by the mercies of God, I beseech you to present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship, that you may prove what is it called? Good, right, perfect will. And so because of that verse is so poorly translated, and because we live in mixture, the intermingling of the Gospels, we say, there you go. See, we have to present ourselves each and every day a living sacrifice. Put ourselves on the altar. And you know what? Simple hermeneutics. Verse, chapter, what came before it, the overall theme of the book, the overall theme of the writer himself. And with simple hermeneutics, when you look at the book of Romans, what happened in Romans, in Rome? In Rome, he is going to a situation or writing to a situation where he's going to be visiting one day, hopefully, where there are two groups of Christians or two groups of believers. There were the Jewish believers and there were the Gentile believers. And the Jewish believers at that time still thought the Gentiles were beneath them. So Paul writes this letter, and first of all, in the first beginning chapters, he's talking about the power of the gospel, guys, Jews, Gentiles, the power of the gospel for all who believe. For therein lies the righteousness of God, guys, for all who believe. And then in the next couple of chapters, he goes on to develop the theme. Okay, listen. You see, you guys that are Gentiles, you know, you were guilty. And this is why you were guilty. But here you guys that are Jewish, you guys were guilty too. They were guilty without the law. You were guilty with the law. And then he moves on to say, okay, all have sinned. Jews, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, guys, all are freely justified. Oh, okay. All right. So now what is he doing? He's bringing them together. Right? Easy to see. Then he goes into verse 4, chapter 4, where now he's talking to the Jews. Hey, Jews. Hey, guys. Hey, Brett. Hey, my brethren. Listen, if you think you're justified by your works, by the Lord, you're wrong. You're wrong. Look at Abraham. He was not justified by the works that he did. He was justified by believing. Okay? Just like the Gentiles are. Because we were all delivered for our transgressions. He was delivered for all of our transgressions. And he was raised for our declaration of righteousness. Then chapter 5 talks about the righteousness of both groups. Both groups. Because he's trying to get them to believe they're one. Now, verse 6, he's talking about unity, being united. United, you see the words there. United in Christ. We're all one in Christ. We're all united in Christ. We're all united through Christ. Chapter 7, he reverts back to the Jew. Verse 1, he says, to you, Jew, you know the law. This is the conflict if you're going to adhere to the law. Who frees us from that? Jesus Christ. Chapter 8, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us all free. We're all free because of that life. We're all sons of God. We're all led by the Spirit. Chapter 9, hey, look at Jews. Look at the Gentiles. They weren't even looking to become righteous. They weren't even trying to become righteous, but yet they achieved the righteousness of God. So you see, Jews, you think you are better than them? Because you adhere to the law of Moses? He goes on to chapter 10. You can't achieve righteousness in your own, through your own strength, through adhering to the laws of Moses. Christ is the end of the law of right from wrong. And so now he spends all this time making it all about Jesus, making it all about faith in Jesus for righteousness, all about its grace. It's faith. It's by faith. It's by grace. It's by faith that it might be by grace. Trying to get the Jews and the Gentiles to stand together as one. You see that? You'd have to be a, I don't know what you'd have to be to miss that. I don't know, but you miss it. I know how you miss it. When you're veiled with the law of Moses, you miss it. And so now it springboards to chapter 12. Knowing all this, therefore, brethren, I beseech you. So now he's pleading with the Jews and the Gentiles. I beseech you, I'm pleading with you to present yourselves a living sacrifice. No. When you look at the word present in the Greek, it very clearly and tells you that the word should be stand beside. Stand beside. And so when you read it in its true meaning, it means, I beseech you, brethren, Jews and Gentiles alike, get it together. All right? Come alongside each other. Come alongside Jesus Christ, whom you're one with. I beseech you to take your positions together as one with Jesus Christ, who is God's only righteous and living sacrifice, which is the only spiritual worship that you can do or you can offer, standing alongside Jesus Christ. And in doing that, standing alongside Jesus Christ, standing alongside each other, standing beside him, you will prove out in your lives what is the good and perfect, whatever, will for God in your lives. So it has nothing to do with you as an individual putting yourself on an altar and making sacrifice. It has everything to do with you standing as one with the one who was God's holy, righteous sacrifice, which is the only reasonable thing we can do. See, because we can't work. You can't do works. It's faith in Jesus Christ. And in doing that, you are going to prove out his good and rightful, perfect will for your life. Why? Because you're going to be renewed in your mind by the truth of the gospel, and you're going to become transformed by it. Verse 2. Now, I know that's a lot different than how you've heard that verse quoted or taught. But I'm telling you right now, it's been taught in error. Over and over and over and over again. And in fact, you'll hear some people say, because of the fact I presented myself a living sacrifice, I believe God has rewarded me. Wait a second. When you read Romans chapter 4, that's a debt owed. That's not grace. For by grace are we saved. Not by works are we rewarded. Paul deals with that also in chapter 4 in Romans. So it's simple hermeneutics, guys. Hermeneutics. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? What's the climate of the people that he's writing to? What's the culture? All right. What's the theme of his book? And what's the theme of all his books? Get his mind. Get his mind. And then we'll end up with, did you like that, Mom? It's good, huh? Okay. Did you like that, Laura?
Very much.
I mean, you know it. You've heard it. You guys, I don't know if you've heard it. I don't think I've ever taught on that. I kind of shy away from it because I know there's a lot of teachers out there using that verse, I believe, incorrectly. And that builds, and that brings guilt, shame, and condemnation. Okay? I thought I was a living sacrifice. I thought I was doing. I thought, I guess I got to do more. I guess I got to, Lord, forgive me. Weep, cry, forgive me. Okay, I got to jump back on that altar. There's more I have to do. There's more I have to do. There's more. Nope. That's a tell. There's more I have to do. There's more I should do. And we'll end up with verse 24 where it says, and they glorified God in me. Or consequently, they recognized God's approval in my life and acknowledged God in me. All right? Which is, it's just amazing. You see, because Paul received this gospel of being one with Christ, of Christ being in him, He being in Christ. He's the one that said in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it's in him that I live and move and have my being. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I was crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it's him. So what this is saying is they saw the Christ in Paul. They saw the Christ in Paul. They saw the change that it made in his life. This is he who persecuted. He who persecuted. I got to ask you guys something. Let's see who knows. When were we first called Christians? It wasn't because of the Jerusalem church. It wasn't because of that gospel of mixture. It was from Paul's revelation and Paul's churches where they embraced that gospel of the Christ in you, of the glory that's in you, and the glory that's coming out of you, and being Christ-like. That's when they refer to and were identified as Christians, Christians. So listen, if you know some Christians who are living in the mixture, they're not really Christians. Oh, Lord. The same God in him, he wants us to see in ourselves. The same God that was in him is the same God that is in us. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We just get so excited with the true gospel, the true message of grace. You know, we thank you for Holy Spirit, who is our lead and who is our guide, you know, who reveals all truth to us, shows us all truth. He brings all wisdom. We just praise and thank you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.